Bar TV ads, local newsletters, restaurant photos, three opportunities hiding in your town that you could solve this week. All right, the first one I saw on Twitter, are you, do you know who Nick Huber is?
I do know who Nick Huber is, yeah.
He might be my favorite troll on the internet, right behind Donald Trump, if I'm honest. They're both very incredible trolls. Let me show you this post from Nick Huber.
Yeah, I challenge you on the Donald Trump one, but anyway.
All right, I'm not going to share this yet. I'll challenge you back. Venice, last night, as we're recording, Venezuela beats Team USA in the WBC, and all he tweets is, statehood, 51st state for Venezuela. Dude is the best troll ever, man. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not biting.
So I see this tweet from Nick Huber, less controversial than his normal tweets that normally get people going. But he's showing a guy who he says has 160 TVs spread out in dive bars across North Georgia, $10 advertised, over 30 ads rotating. He makes $20,000 per month profit. What a business, right? And so I saw this, and I can picture my local bar, right? I live in Wisconsin. There are more bars per capita here than anywhere else in the world. There are a lot of little hole-in-the-wall bars in every little town, and I can picture this, right? Some of them have them, and I got a little excited, if I'm honest, looking at these numbers, and I wanted to talk through with you. I wanted to know, is this an opportunity that is viable? So first off, I'm going to be honest. I don't know whether I can trust Nick Huber here on whether the story is completely accurate or not, but I think you and I can flush out the numbers and decide whether this is something viable.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, feels like it could be viable, like off the cuff. Like, it's a believable troll if he is trolling.
For sure. I think anybody who's listening on the podcast who's like, what is he talking about? All right, picture you're in a local dive bar and there's a TV on the wall and it's literally just ads, right? You've probably seen these in a restaurant in front of you at the urinal. There's a lot of places this exists. In fact, I used to get my haircut from a barber when we were in Florida in the winters, and he had one on his wall. And I was like, oh man, you know, first off, how much are they paying you to have this TV in front of me as I'm getting my haircut? He's like, oh no. They put me on all of their other TVs. And so I let them have one in here. And again, just got my mind spinning here. But anyone listening on the podcast, picture a TV on the wall, and that's as simple as this is. And so, one, have you seen this around? I don't know if you're a big bar guy. I know you're not anymore nowadays, but like, is this a thing in Australia as well? I'm sure the urinal ones are there.
Look, I reckon I can remember seeing this sort of stuff when I was in the US. I think it's probably not as much of a thing in Australia. I mean, there are plenty of screens in bars and a lot of bars and pubs and things like that here, and mostly they're playing sports, you know, as I'm sure is the case over where you are as well. You know, you do see digital ads in a lot of odd places though around here, and sometimes you're kind of like, yeah, I wonder what's going on there. Like, that's an interesting place. Like, there's ones where, like, I don't know if you have this over there, but like, dudes will have like screens in the back of their Uber,
yep,
like on the back of the seat, right? And there's ads rotating through those screens and things like that as well. And that's obviously hooked up to some kind of little ad network or something like that. So I don't know that this would just be a TV thing. I think there's probably opportunities to do it in other places as well. Or it already exists in other ways, right? There's all sorts of weird little advertising spaces around. When you actually stop, pay attention and think about it, I think a lot of things we see, we're just so, you know, used to seeing advertising that it's there and you don't even really realize it's there anymore. You're just kind of, you know, zoned out to it a little bit, but you see it subconsciously, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
I've been going down the local advertising rabbit hole. So we're going to talk about this one. There's another one in this show that I think is good. We're having a guest come on in a few weeks here that's going to talk to us about the postcard thing that we talked briefly about previously. I think there's opportunity. Heck, I drive by the hockey arena here in town as I come to my office. They've got advertising across there. The gym that we used to go to, he rents space inside of the gym. I mean, I think this opportunity truly is everywhere if you think about it. But let's break down this TV one here. So the math, thank you, Claude. 160 TVs, 30 ads per TV at $10 a month each. So that's $48,000 a month gross if every slot is full. Nick says he's making $20,000 a month profit, so his costs are roughly $28,000 a month, paying bars for the space, maybe the equipment, the software, managing the location. I think you have to understand a few of the software pieces here, but other than that, I don't think there's much more to understand here from the brains, if you will. Like, I don't think there's much going on here. And so do you want to break down the whole model? Do you want to break down how we could do it here in Wisconsin? How do you want to break this one down?
Yeah, let's break down the whole thing. Let's do it. I'm curious.
I mean, if this guy's got 160 TVs, right? Like, you're probably paying $150 per TV. By the way, when's the last time you bought a flat screen TV, John?
Oh, they're cheap as.
They're cheap. They are nothing.
So cheap.
I remember getting like a 55 for my basement, 10 years ago to play Call of Duty. And I was like, man, this is going to be awesome. It was well over $1,000. And now, yeah, they're a couple hundred bucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember, say how old we are. I remember when they first came out, you know what I mean? You'd see like these TVs now that are like $500. You pay like $3,000 for the same thing sort of thing. You know, that's certainly not a big cost per location for sure.
Well, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to keep a little note over here for one location, right? So 160 TVs, you're looking at, what, $25,000, $30,000 for the setup. Let's just say we're buying one TV to start with, $150. I want this to be an opportunity somebody can do this weekend. In fact, again, you know me, I love shiny objects. This seems very, very shiny to me. And just walk down to the bar down the street and, ask for a non-alcoholic beer and then have a conversation. Sounds great for me. All right, so 150 per TV. This guy's got 160 TVs. You're going to need software to push the ads, right? So something that is going to rotate the ads in infinity, right? Just constantly rotating ads. I didn't look too much into this. Claude says there's Atmosphere, Upshow, Loop TV, and Radiant. So some charge per screen per month, call it like $10 to $30 per screen. There's another $1,600 to $4,800 a month in software costs across 160 locations. But if you're paying, again, $10 per screen, I think that's very reasonable for you to, you sell one ad, you're paying for your software costs here, right? You sell 15 other ads, you've paid for your TV one time, and all of that's profit moving forward. So I'm going to put $10 on my little thing over here. I think the bigger thing that I'm thinking through personally is installation, right? Imagine having to go install 160 TVs, right? So you're probably also buying a bracket, right, for the wall, something to mount it. You're going to run power. You're going to have to make sure you're connected to Wi-Fi, which shockingly that there are still quite a few businesses, especially dive bars, that don't have Wi-Fi, or they, if they do, it's the worst Wi-Fi you've ever seen. So I think you might be running into some of those issues, but mostly it's going to be time, right? And your gas money and your effort to go install 160 TVs.
Yeah, look, and depending on where you're doing it as well. Like, so if you were doing this in Australia, and you're going into somebody else's business and installing this stuff, you're going to have to use an electrician. Unless you're qualified yourself, you can't install electrical product for insurance purposes. Like me personally, if I run like electrical cable through my walls to somewhere I want to put a TV or something, right? And that catches on fire at some point, I'm not getting insurance money for my location, right? Because I wasn't qualified to put it in, and that's probably why I started a fire, right? So, you'd have to look at that sort of stuff, I think. It's not going to be the case everywhere, but it certainly is the case in some places. And that would increase your one-time cost a little bit. Still doesn't cost heaps to get a PowerPoint or whatever installed on a wall somewhere. So, it's probably not a significant one-time cost, but you might have to add that on.
We here in America, we drape power lines like you're in a Thailand street corner. You know what I mean? Like, look at this photo here. This is what dive bars look like. You're not wiring an outlet over there. You're just running as much cable as you can across the thing. I genuinely mean when I say this is what most bars look like here in Wisconsin, unless you're going to something nicer. So, but you're right. If you got to wire an outlet over there, that's a different story. Hopefully there's an outlet nearby. Wi-Fi shouldn't be an issue. I'm going to guess these software, it's, a USB stick or something that you're plugging in there. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
So, startup costs on 160, you're look 30 to 40 grand, but no one's going to start with 160 out of the gates, right? I'm sure this person didn't start with 160. I'm under $300 over here on my total. 150 for the TV, $10 for the software. Maybe you need a mount. Maybe you need a little bit of extra cable or something like that. You're under $300. Maybe a little gas that you got, a little time spent going over there and setting this up. But I think you have a system for which you can sell for under $300, and now you just need to do some selling, right? You need a location for it, so you need to go pitch one bar, and then you just need to go sell this thing, right? You need to go convince somebody that they should be on your TV for $10. Now, I think the first TV is probably going to be the hardest one you have to sell because it's one location, but I imagine when you have 160 of these, you're not selling $10, right? You're like the local lumber guy or the local chiropractor. They're not going to want to just be on one spot around here, right? They're going to want to be at every spot around here. Yeah. So you're selling ads galore here. But how would you get off the ground on the very first one? You spent $300. You got a TV. You've got the software. We'll call it Radiant. You have Radiant. You got a USB stick. Where are you going? Like, how are you choosing the first bar? And then how are you choosing the first people to sell to? Or are you doing that in a different order?
Yeah. It's a good question. I mean, the biggest question about this whole thing for me is the bars. Like, what are you paying the bars? Like, if I'm a bar manager, bar owner, and look, I know there are different levels of bars. Some are shittier than others, for sure. Some are divier than others and all of that sort of thing. But like, you're coming in and you're saying, hey, can I put this reasonably sized screen on your wall that's just going to show ads? It might be the brightest thing in the room. One, I'm kind of like, yeah, isn't that just going to look shit? Let's be real. The ones in the pictures, they look shit, if I'm honest.
Bright yellow, yeah.
I used to run bars when I was younger. I'd be kind of like, I don't want that thing in here. I'd say there's probably a particular type of location that is the easiest to target with this, right? Like, you're obviously not walking into like a high-end cocktail bar and being like, hey, can I put TV advertising on your uber nicely designed space? They're going to say no, right? So I think that would be a waste of time. But like I say, if you're in a working class area, kind of suburban area, that sort of thing, I would think, you know, where you're kind of like your average bar or worse, might be worth doing. Maybe places that aren't obviously making much money. Because on this maths, he can't be paying the bars a lot to have these things in there, which is the bit I don't get. Like, if I was a bar owner, I'd be like, well, what are you going to give me? And if you're saying like, oh, I'm going to give you $100 a month, I'm kind of like, come on, these days that's like 10 beers is $100. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know. That's the bit of the maths that, to me, is the biggest hole in it. Maybe I'm missing something about bars, but like, if I'm a bar owner, I'm not going for it, personally.
Put yourself in a bar owner's shoes, right? They're making a few thousand dollars. Like, their margins are slim, right? They're good, but they're like, they don't make a lot of money as a business. So they do okay, but they don't make a lot. And so, you know, is 100 going to attract them? No. But, you know, when I go back to that barber scenario, that barber's not a moron. And he said, yeah, absolutely. Throw my ad on the other stuff and you can put it in here for free. I assume, you and I know, most business owners are not these hugely sophisticated people, right? And so I'm not trying to, you know, talk down to people, but they're not. A lot of people put business owners up on a pedestal. They're just like every other person in the world, right? And so I imagine maybe you don't even need to pay them. I'm not sure I would come with dollars first. I would say, look, I've got six locations. I can either put your ad on the other locations, which again, you would need approval from all those locations. Or how about I'm going to run a carousel of 20 to 30 ads, and every fourth ad is going to be yours, right? So you can say Monday is burger day, right? And then three ads. Tuesday is this day. Come back on Tuesday, right? You can use it as your own advertising platform. I would pitch it as a way that I'm not paying you anything out of the gate. So I think that's how I would start.
Yeah. And I think that's the strongest way to do it. I think even if you threw a little bit of money in plus that, like, we'll give you some cash. Give them cash as well. Off the books money. Go and put it in your pocket. Don't got to pay taxes on it, right? I'm going to come around once a month and give you some cash. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, seriously. I mean, like, I just got a massive amount of work, plumbing work. My at home, my sewage line got busted, right? Going out of the house. So couldn't flush the toilets, couldn't do anything like that, right? No joke. Like, it had tree roots growing through it and all of this sort of stuff. So I had to rip up the whole front yard, which really sucked. And the plumbing guy was like, hey, man, like, this is a big job. Give me cash and I'll like take a significant portion of the price off. And I was like, yeah, sweet. Cool. I'll do it. You don't want to pay tax for some reason right now. So happy days. So give them cash. But yeah, I think offering them advertising in other locations, I mean, I think that's a strong thing for sure, right? Free advertising. Everybody likes a bit of free advertising. So I like that. That's a good idea. Hey, John here. I just wanted to take a quick moment to let you know about the Low Bar Pod membership. If you've been loving the show and you'd like to hang out with myself, Ben, and a whole bunch of other like-minded individuals, then the Low Bar Pod membership is for you. It's just $9 a month or $7 a month if you take the annual option, and here's what you're going to get. One, you can join our private community platform where all of our members hang out, where myself and Ben hang out. We chat with each other. We share all sorts of stuff, ideas, ask questions, get feedback. So you get access to that community. You get access to one live Ask Me Anything session each month of the year with myself and Ben. So we get on a call, it's hosted video call, it's live, you can ask questions, you can pre-submit questions and have them answered by us, anything to do with business, and you get access to the recording and the transcripts of every Ask Me Anything session. You get direct chat access to myself and Ben in the community. So anytime you want to run an idea past us, have us check something, have us look at your business, whatever it might be, you can chat with us in there. You get direct and exclusive access to all of the Low Bar Pod challenges that we're either running, we have run, or we're going to run in the future. So our membership platform has a space in there for all of our challenges. For example, a 75 hard business challenge that we've talked on the podcast recently, that happens inside our membership, not outside of our membership. You get access to all of the podcast and Ask Me Anything transcripts for every episode. We post those within our membership area. So if you're somebody that wants to read what we talk about rather than watch videos or listen in, you can do that. And then finally, every Monday, we send out our Three Moves Monday newsletter. We only send this to our members, and in that newsletter every week you get three business ideas or strategies that you could implement into either starting a new business or growing an existing business. So it's just $9 a month. You can cancel at any time, and all you need to do to get in instantly is head to lowbarpod.com/join, and you'll find a link to that below. You know, to get the network up and running in terms of other businesses, I'd probably just go to other businesses, like, you know, because you're going to be going to other local businesses and you're saying, well, we're starting off in one location, or maybe you could fudge it a little bit and just say we're starting off in a few locations or whatever, but I'd probably like give them their first month for free. I'd say, look, come on board here. I'm going to give you your first month for free. After that, it's going to be, what did we say, 10 bucks a month or something like that?
10 bucks a month per screen, yeah. Or you could get a whole package for X.
Yep. Yeah. So I'd package it up. I'd give them their first month or a free period, free trial. You know what I mean? Like, let's have a free trial to enable me to at least get some inventory up and running, and then start pulling in revenue from them in the following months. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. Once again, nobody's going to say no to free advertising. I think that's probably the easiest way to get your first, I don't know, 10 or 15 advertisers or whatever on board and up and running.
I love the cash idea. Shout out my man Dino. He doesn't listen to this, but Dino, he'll do anything for $100. He's the electrician around my area. Yeah. Every time I'm calling him, like, I got this issue, and he's like, well, yeah, look, I can come over and write it up, or $100 cash, I'll be there later this afternoon. He'll come for $100 cash for anything, man. It's great. I love that. I love that shit. But I don't know if I like the free idea, just because you're already, like, the risk is gone. At $10, it's so gone, right? Anybody's going to pay $10, I think. I don't think you're going to get a lot of no's here. I think where the no's come is, like, where am I being advertised? And you say bars, that's going to appeal to some people, and that's not going to appeal to others. And so, like, my brain started spinning of, like, why just bars? Think of all the places you go sit on your butt and wait for stuff, right? For me, it's like waiting rooms at the doctor, waiting at my barber, sitting in the barber chair, chiropractor's offices. There are so many places where you're sitting and just kind of looking around, likely on your phone, right? But, like, you know, there's a lot of places I think you're sitting. And I think if you weave some of those in there, you're likely going to get just yeses anyway, let alone it's $10. I don't think there's going to be people that are going to push back too hard on 10. Although if you get them started for free, they're definitely not going to say no to free. But then you have no, like, attribution. It's not going to be like, well, I saw you down at the old pub and I decided to come up here and try it out. That's my only worry. They're going to get a month in and not see anything. And then you have to pitch them again, right? So they're going to have 30 days of evidence it doesn't work. And then you have to try to sell them, where I would just sell them out of the gates, and they'll probably never bother you again. They'll just keep paying you as part of, you know, their advertising budget.
Yeah. No, I agree. I actually don't think bars is necessarily the strongest idea. Like, think of like doctor's waiting rooms, dental waiting rooms, medical center waiting rooms. Like, there's so many places where people are just captive. They're sitting there, they're bored out of their skull. I mean, yes, they're probably looking at their phone as well, you know, these days, but there's lots of places you could do this that's not just bars. That as well, you know, for people who don't want to be advertised in bars for some reason, or don't want themselves associated with that or their business, like, there's definitely other locations I think you could offer them. You know, okay, well, we're not going to put you on the bar network, but we'll put you on the medical waiting room network or whatever. You know what I mean? And maybe you've got some, like, adjacent service that you offer, you know, like somebody's getting their teeth done and there's something else they might be interested in from your business or something like that. I don't know. I mean, you could take this in a lot of different directions, I think. You could be smart about it. Like, let's say you're doing the bar idea. There is definitely going to be a range of businesses out there that wouldn't have any problem with that, right? I think most local service business, particularly, that they're probably not going to have a problem. Like mechanics, landscapers, you know, all of those sort of things. Like, why would they care about being in a bar? I don't think they would be. And so you would just, like, go and target them first, you know what I mean? Go and find them and reach out to them first, I think would be the smartest thing to do in the beginning.
But are you doing the chicken or the egg first? That's where I'm a little stuck, right? I kind of sketched it all out here, right? Pick one bar, barbershop, laundromat that you go to. Hopefully you have a relationship there. I think I would start with that first. I would go get the location first. Watch it, you know, walk in, pitch them, offer them what you said, $50 or cash, right? Or, hey, I'll put your ads in here, whatever it gets to get you on the wall. Then I'm going to get 10 people. But I could see the argument on the other side. I'm curious whether you would do that. Would you go assume you have locations and go get the advertisers so that at least when you go to the location, you have it already? Or which one are you doing first?
Yeah, I honestly think you could work out a way to do either, if I'm honest. But I'm probably with you. I'd probably go and get some of the advertisers first. I'd take in a little screen with me, like a tablet or something. I'd mock up some ads and I'd just be like, hey, I mean, this is what it's going to look like. These are what ads could look like. You know, this could be your business, all of that sort of thing. At the same time, you could go the other way, though. You could go to the location first with your little mock-up and say, hey, I want to put a screen in here. This is what the ad, like, just mock up some ads for fake businesses or whatever and just be like Nathan's lawn mowing or something. Like, just be like, this is what the ads are going to look like, man. This is exactly it right here. Because somebody's got to design the ads, right? So I assume that's going to be you. You're going to do that anyway. Use Canva, put together a few kind of ad templates that you could use for real businesses when you get them signed on, and just make up like 5 mock-ups, and then yeah, you can show them what it looks like. I think you can go either way, if I'm honest.
I feel like that's your upsell, right? Like, walk in and say, you know, try it for 3 months, $10 a month, one per location. I'll make the ad. $50, we'll make the, or our team will make the ad for you. Here's what the size we need, whatever. Then when you go to the bar, to the laundromat, to whatever, and you offer that to put their ad every 4th ad, hey, normally I charge for this to create ads. I'm going to create all of your ads for free to put it on your wall. Now it's a no-brainer for them as well. Look, if you sell 10 ads, one screen, 10 ads, that's $100 a month, right? So you have your cash back to you in 2 months. That doesn't happen anywhere. If you go invest and you're hoping for 7% back, 10% back, the rule of 72, right? It's going to take you 7 years to double your money. This is an opportunity for you to start and have something that has brought your money back to you in 2 months. That doesn't happen anywhere else. And so to me, that's why this is appealing of like, I think you could go do this, you know, one weekday. Literally 1 weekday or 1 weekend. If you really want to go do it on the weekend, cool. I think you could do this in 1 day and have either 10 yeses out of probably 20 pitches or 20 noes and the bar owner threw you out. Like, I don't feel like there's going to be some in between here. I think you're going to know immediately whether this works or not.
I agree. You've just got to have that little bit of push to go out and talk to a few people. I mean, that's where I think there's going to be somebody listening to this who's like, that sounds awesome. And I think that the biggest pushback people will have will be like, oh, I got to go and put myself out there now and go and actually ask some people. But if you're the person that feels good about doing that, then this could be your thing.
I threw some fun facts in there, John, just to get your reaction. All right. So Wisconsin is number 3 in the nation for bars per capita. I actually thought they were number 1. So there's 24 bars per 100,000 adults. My little state has 2,732 bars. Iron County, Wisconsin has 1 bar for every 240 residents. So they lead the entire nation at a county level. 1 bar for every 240 people is crazy. 7 of the 10 drunkest cities in America are in Wisconsin. 12 of the top 20, Appleton, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Madison, Fond du Lac, Eau Claire, which is, I've definitely drank a lot of beers in Eau Claire in my life. Wausau, Sheboygan, La Crosse on Alaska has 6.9 bars per 10,000 residents, more than any other metro area in the United States. This is what I think the opportunity is even richer here, just because there is so many bars around here. I think genuinely within 30 minutes from here, I bet there's 100 bars. I bet, like, honestly, just on the Wisconsin side, not even going over to Minnesota, there's probably even more than that. And so I don't want to say no one's doing this around here, because I haven't been to a bar in a very long time, if I'm honest with you, but I bet it's not like super sophisticated. Somebody's probably tried this. I'm not going to say they haven't, but you're going to go, you know, go pitch these bars. Then you're going to go to landscapers, plumbers, electricians, HVACs, roofers, the pizza place, the car wash, the insurance agent, the chiropractor, the auto body shop, the storage unit place, everybody who's been told they need to quote unquote market, but doesn't know and doesn't trust Facebook, or they just literally don't know what they're doing on that stuff. So, man, John, I say this every time I come up with an idea that we talk about on here. I want to do this one. This feels like a real opportunity. I know my brother is our best listener still to this day. He sends me a review every week. Josh, tell me what you think of this one, buddy. This feels like it's right up your alley. You like to go talk to people. You wouldn't mind having a crisp beer while you talk to them. I know you couldn't put the TV on the wall. I know that's out of your capabilities, but if we can find somebody to put the TV up, you're in good shape. Most nights, my brain won't shut off. I'm lying there chasing new ideas, diving down rabbit holes, thinking through business problems, all of it. I can't turn it off, and honestly, I don't even want to. I fucking love this stuff. But I do need solid sleep if I'm going to show up as the best version of myself for my wife, for my kids, for my business partners, and for me. So every night, I take Kill Switch from Switch Supplements. I've been taking it for years. I take a scoop, I watch a quick YouTube video, and within a half an hour, I'm out. It works every single time. My wife takes it. My employee takes it. We even gave it out at a couple of our live events and everyone loved it. If you're the same way, you can't turn it off, but you still want to win big the next day, go to switchsupplements.com/lowbar and use the code lowbar to get $10 off your first order. That's switchsupplements.com/lowbar and use the code lowbar. Sleep like you're dead. All right, I put a tweet on the screen. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Again, it's somebody claiming someone's doing this, so we can read their numbers. We don't have to read the numbers. It's fine. But this other model is like a local email newsletter. So same model as bar TV, but digital, right? You're aggregating local attention, and you're selling it to local advertisers. it sounds like this person is doing a, hey, what's happening in this town type of weekly email. I'm certain I've seen magazines back in the day of you know, here's what's going on in your town this month type of thing. This is strictly email, events, specials, new restaurants, farmers markets, live music, community stuff. Most small towns either don't have one of these or the one they have sucks. It's usually run by the Chamber of Commerce. They're also not the best marketers in the world. And so, again, been going down this local rabbit hole. This feels like another pretty easy opportunity, right? People want to know what's happening in their town. They don't want to dig for it. They don't want to go to Google for it. They're not checking the library bulletin board or scrolling the city's Facebook page, although I'm sure they're getting some info from Facebook groups and things like that, which, again, could be a value add to your newsletter here is to have a Facebook group behind that. But you're doing the work once a week. You're aggregating everything into an email, and you become the source of information that the town is running to. Some of the numbers on this stuff, John, is like he's saying subscriber acquisition cost is 50 cents to a dollar. Businesses pay to advertise because the open rates are 50 to 70% because, again, it's all local. This guy is saying he did 60,000 in his first 2 months in Winnipeg. That sounds crazy to me. That sounds pretty high. Winnipeg's obviously a pretty big city compared to where I am, probably compared to where you are either. But what do you think of this idea of like just here's the stuff going on in your city this week type of email?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them exist and I've kind of heard of it a little bit, but I see these in paper copy. Like I get these in my letterbox, right? Every week, I'm sure you do too. It's like something, it kind of feels like a little mini newspaper. It's got like news from the local area, which is usually shit, and, if I'm honest. And then it's got like 10 pages of ads sitting behind that, right? And it's all from all the local businesses, you know what I mean? And they're dropping it off to you for free. They're getting paid from the advertisers, all that sort of stuff. So this is kind of, yeah, exactly the same thing. It's just an online version, and you could definitely make it not suck as much as some of them do if you wanted to. But yeah, look, I mean, I could totally see this working. I'd poke a hole in some of those numbers, if I'm honest. 50 to 70% open rates, that's bullshit. I highly doubt that at scale, like highly, highly doubt that. This is not like, that's like a transactional email when you buy something kind of open rate. You're not going to get that, which is fine. That doesn't end it. I don't think you need that either. 30 to 40% is probably more realistic.
He's also saying he has 23,000 subscribers in a city of 40,000. So right out of the gates, it's like, really? Really? Yeah. You got half the town?
I think this is actually super easy. This one is so easy. It's not going to be hard to get advertisers on board for this. The hardest bit to me is like, and the biggest question I have is, how are you acquiring the subscribers? That's it. So I know you mentioned there's like a cost per subscription. So you've got to be doing something. You're going to be starting at zero. You've got to be doing something. How are you getting people in your local area's email addresses, right? So that's the question. Now, if I'm honest, there would be black hat, gray hat, and white hat ways to do that for sure. You could probably buy them, if I'm honest, and like just start cold emailing them for sure, if you wanted to be on the black hat side.
I think you could borrow them from other companies too, right? It's not uncommon for companies to share lists. And so go to the six dentists in town and ask them how much to, you know, buy to rent their list or to buy their list, right? Go to any of the other chiropractors or doctors, whoever has all the emails in the town, just go ask them, can I rent this? Can I send an email to your list?
Absolutely. You could do that. And I'd say in certain locations that would fall on the gray side, because depending on your local privacy laws, they can't technically do that. So like there's some states in the US, for example, as we found out in recent times, where
sure,
you know, the laws are a little bit different when it comes to data sharing, right? And people might not be aware of that, and you've got the ambulance chasing lawyers that are going around like suing people for not having the right privacy stuff on their website and all of that sort of thing. So totally, you could do that though in most places, I would say, but there would be some places where you might want to be a little careful about that. And it's probably not even your problem, it's probably the problem of the person who collected the email in the first place, so that the business you'd be renting it off, rather than your problem directly. But yeah, you could do that. That's not a bad idea. You know, I mean, there are certainly ways that you could pay to acquire email addresses as well, like of your own without renting them. I mean, you could run local ads for your thing as well, like online ads, I mean. And you could get subscribers. You know, it's probably possible in some locations to get them at that. I think you said 50 cents to a dollar or something was subscriber acquisition cost in that person's post. I think some of the other numbers in that post are bullshit, but it's probably not actually necessarily much off that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we get subscribers to something, you know, for $3 in one of our businesses. So, you know, could you do it cheaper than that? Possibly. Sure.
I think you could run an ad hyper locally on Facebook for subscribers that would probably be in that 50 cents to a dollar range.
Yeah, I think so. It's quite possible. I wouldn't rule that out at all. So like you could grow it that way. I'm sure there's plenty of other ways you could do it, but those are some good ideas for sure.
Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science, which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
So he's saying revenue per subscriber is $10 to $12 per year, right? And when I had Claude flush this out, it's saying sell 4 ad slots per email at $50 a week. So $200 a week, $800 a month is what you're getting. Honestly, that turned me off a little bit. I know it's a little easier to do email, but when you said you get some of these in your mailbox. I do too, right? So we get one on the cover is always some random family in Hudson, you know, one of those cheesy photos you like to make fun of. Then inside is like a 2-page story on this family and then 13 pages of ads. And maybe like another story in the middle, and usually like an advertorial somewhere in the middle, right? Where it's clearly an ad, but it's also like, you know, a heartwarming story about how this lawyer saved a puppy or some shit. I don't know. And so there's way more ads in that. Well, like way more, right? And they're reaching the whole town. I know we're having somebody come on in a couple weeks here to kind of talk about that model. I don't know if 4 ad slots gets me going here. I do think a lot of people would open them. I do think it would be easy to find all the emails in the town pretty easily, right? Whether you're, you know, paying for them, whether you're running ads, whether you're borrowing a list or whatever you're doing. I don't think that would be hard. I'm just not sure I get super excited about the scalability of this one.
Yeah, well, I guess, is it in some way similar to the postcard idea, right? You could do it in different towns for sure. Like you can have different email newsletters in different towns and like multiply it that way. You know, I think if you're kind of doing it like a, maybe you could double the advertising in a sense by like, if you're doing it like what's happening in your local area every week, right? Because I think if you want people to be opening it, otherwise your advertisers are going to drop off at some point. Right, because they're not going to feel it's doing anything. And so like actually sharing things that are actually happening in whatever the local area is, I think that is actually not a bad way to get people to open it rather than doing the thing like you get in your mailbox where it's like, oh, here's a random family and it's a heartwarming story and stuff. I don't think people are opening emails for that sort of thing. Like who cares, right? But like what's happening, you know, you're looking for things to do with your kids, you're looking for things to do. If you're single, you want to go out at night, like what's on, what shows are on, like all of that sort of stuff. Like you could have a system where all of the businesses in your local area, like share, like what's happening in our business this week, like for the bars, who's playing, you know, for the family places. Oh, we've got this thing on for kids this week. Come down, it's school holidays. Come down and do this thing, right? And you put all of that. That's like the content, but you also charge people to have their events in there. You know what I mean? As well as maybe an ad slot further down the page for their business. You know what I mean? And so it's actually more like the whole thing is advertising businesses, but the what's happening doesn't feel like ads. It feels like you're telling your reader, like, and you are, like what's actually happening so they know, right? And maybe there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happens in local areas that isn't ads related. Maybe there's a bunch of free things that governments do, or I don't know, whatever, that you could put in there. You know, like local fairs or events and things like that. I don't know.
So I assume that's what was in there, right? The local events. So are you saying rug pull them? Like, let's go do this for free, get all the subscribers. And then when the bar's like, hey, by the way, we have this band on Friday, and be like, yeah, it's cool. $12. And I'll make sure I mention that this band's going to be there this week. Is that what you're saying? Just rug pull on them?
No. I wouldn't do it like that, but I'd say here's what the advertising slot is. It's like, we'll put your ad, you can have your events in there and you can have an ad in there, like a standing ad for your business, or you can just have a standing ad and no events if you're a business that doesn't do events. Like your local dentist isn't doing events. Like it's not like come and get your teeth cleaned for free day down at, or maybe it is, I don't know. Maybe it's free teeth flossing day for BK.
Sign me up.
you know, and that's an event 1 week just to get people through the door. I don't know. Maybe that does happen. But like, you know, the dentist probably just wants an ad spot and doesn't have any events. And maybe there's people who have events they want to promote. They don't want an ad spot. You know what I mean? And maybe it's a bit of both and you can have packages and stuff. But you can have more people in the what's happening space than you can have ad slots, right? Because that avoids the email looking like just one giant ad with no content. I talked to them about that up front. Like, I wouldn't be like, you know, I'm going to charge you on the spot without you knowing it. I'd say, like, here's the things we can do for you in these emails. Like, you know, getting something in both spots, that's going to cost you more. Getting one of those things is going to cost you a different amount. And you can have like little, you know, you can have like ad packages, right?
I just assume to start, you have to do that, right? You have to get people wanting to read your thing. So you're going to have to post all that shit. And then, you know, zipping back around 8 months later when you're like, hey, I got all the subscribers now, so I'm going to need to charge you to have these events in here. That's kind of weird. On the same token, you mentioned the dentist, right? The dentist just came to our kids' school. They come once a year, you know, to check all the teeth out, you know, help all the low-income folks who aren't getting this done. That dentist is doing that pro bono, and he would probably like the world to know he's doing that, right? Like that makes him look good. So he's probably willing to have a little section in there of like, that is happening at the school this week, not to advertise it, but to advertise the fact that it's happening. And so I'm sure there are other places like that. I just don't know how you write this in the beginning without putting all the shit going on in the town. And that if you want to circle back and make people pay to put what's going on in the town, that makes it difficult. Because if you came out of the gates and you were like, I'm going to run this newsletter, I have nobody on it, please pay me. You know what I mean? That's a hard sell.
Oh, look, once again, going back to what I said about the TVs earlier, I'd probably do, like, I'd have my rates and stuff. And, you know, maybe in the beginning, you're doing some stuff for free and that sort of thing. Or maybe you could say, like, you could have ad rates that are based on how many subscribers the email's reaching. I don't know. Like, there's I'm sure if you got creative, there's different ways you could come up with managing that.
What about combining the two? So you have TVs and bars and laundromats and barbershops. You also have the email going out each week. And now you're offering people, hey, $10 per location. Plus I'll mention you in the newsletter. And if you get, you know, shout out to Big Sky when they come on here in a couple of weeks, you start running those, the local thing too. Now you just have a monopoly on the advertising in the area, right? If anybody wants to be seen anywhere, they got to talk to John. Like that, to me, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah. I think if I were going to do one of these things, yeah, having like three other formats that are completely different, that you could package to get. I mean, this is obviously a bit of your scalability comes in, right? Yeah, like I'll get you in the email, I'll get you in people's letterbox, I'll get you in public places like that people go to, like bars and toilets and like whatever. Totally. There is absolutely zero reason why you wouldn't do that. Because you've got the advertisers, you can get the locations, like, yeah, offer them everything, do everything. Like it's all, the mechanics of doing it all is, each of those is pretty easy.
If only we had an eighth day of the week, I would be all over this one, because this sounds fucking awesome. Like, it genuinely sounds awesome. I'm sure I'm going to say that when Rachel, I think her name's Rachel, when she comes on in a couple weeks,
yeah,
I'm going to be saying that too. This sounds awesome. I'm excited. Let's move on from though. All right, I got one more thing. So recently we went on a little vacation. We're trying to figure out where to eat. Right, so we do what probably most people do. We went to Google Maps, first typed in restaurant, and just looked around until we saw, you know, good enough stars to do it, right? Or maybe we were interested in Chinese or Mexican or Indian or whatever we were into. And you start clicking on locations and like swiping through the photos that are in there, right? And I'm going to be honest, every single restaurant we found had terrible photos, right? Most of them are taken by customers on their phones, which is not good. Bad lighting, half-eaten plates, blurry, flash, glare, like food is gray, whatever. So my wife, in a previous life, did a lot of professional photography. And as we're looking at these, she's not even caring about where we're going to go eat. She's losing her mind about these photos. She's not a marketer. She still falls for all the tricks that we do every day, John, which is wild after this many years. But she, the marketer in her came out, because she's like, wow, I really wanted to eat here, but this food looks terrible. All I want to do is, like, if we go there, I want to talk to the owner and say, hey, look, I'll come shoot some photos for you. You can basically do it on an iPhone this week. You don't need some nice camera nowadays, right? Your iPhone's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We ended up skipping places because the photos made the food look bad. And we picked places based on where the food looked good, right? It had less to do with the reviews and more to do with, like, wow, that looks really good. So I think there's likely restaurants losing business and they don't even know it, right? Mostly because they're too busy dealing with all the shit in their restaurant. Like they're worried about getting the food there. They're worried about their employees. They're worried about whatever's going on. I don't think they even have a clue about this. And so if you can come to offer them some sort of package where, hey, I'll come shoot your food. I'll make sure that it is plastered everywhere. If anybody looks up your business online or your type of food online near you, they're going to see these photos that are plastered everywhere. I think this would be a pretty easy sell. I'm not sure where to price this, but I think it would be a pretty easy sell for any business owner, because one yes is all you need. It 100% is going to improve that business. And then you have a case study that you can present to every other business in town.
I agree. I've seen this. And particularly in, like, once again, kind of smaller locations, like smaller towns and things like, obviously if you go into big cities, a lot of the restaurants have really great websites and really great photos. They're higher end restaurants, and so they've invested a bit into that. But in more local areas, like my local area where I live, the nearest town to me that's got a lot of restaurants in it, you know, it's next to the ocean, nice place, lots of tourists, that sort of thing. A lot of the restaurants, you know, they've been open for years and years, and like their photos that come up online look like they were taken 10 years ago. And same thing, they're like the resolution's not great, and you're kind of like, oh, what am I even looking at on the plate there? So I totally see this one. And, you know, I guess a lot of restaurants just forget about this stuff, right? Like, we got foot traffic, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably good enough, and we don't think about that stuff. And some of their websites look terrible too. So I'd be like, if I were doing this for somebody, I'd be like, look, I'll get you way better photos everywhere online of what you actually do that actually looks enticing to people, and I'll fix up your website while I'm at it, because that, you know, looks like it's from 1957.
There are definitely, in my local area, it's a little smaller here, there's a lot of Wix sites. If you know what a Wix site looks like, you know how bad these websites are.
Yeah.
Specifically where we were in Destin, Florida, or like the little area around there, right? So Crestview, Fort Walton, Fort Walton Beach. There's about 300,000 people. There's a lot of restaurants, and it was still shitty. Like, it was still bad. Like, this isn't a major metropolitan area, but I mean, that's 300,000 is not a small amount of people either, right? And so that surprised me that it was so bad in that area, right? And so I wrote this down before I said this, right? So imagine you walk into the restaurant. All you need to do is pull up that Google listing and just be like, hey, look, this is why I think, or like, we were going to eat here, and then we saw this, right? This is what people see when they're deciding whether to come here. I can make this food look as good as it actually tastes. $500, right? Something like that. I mean, that's your whole pitch. As soon as they see, this is what we saw when we were looking to whether to come to eat here, and I think they're going to change their mind. They probably already know they have a shitty website. I think that would be an easy pitch. I think there's a whole other piece here on the Google My Business stuff too, like the Google My Business profile. There's probably a whole package you could do for local business owners, but you got to start somewhere. You got to start with one of these small pieces, because if you come at them with the, you know, the $5,000 package out of the gates, they're going to laugh at you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're right. The photos is definitely the easiest kind of lowest bar piece of this, because like you say, you don't need tons of equipment. You know, you need a little bit of time. You just got to be there while they're making food and all of that sort of thing. And yeah, I mean, why not?
You probably get some meals out of this, right? They got to cook up 20, 30 meals in front of you for photos. You're going to be trying that shit. So you're getting a meal out of the deal, $500. And then, like you said, unlimited upsells here, right? Like, oh, now that we have Google looking great, I can do your Google My Business profile. I can make sure these are everywhere on Google. I can do your website for you. I can make sure these get on social media. I can design up 50 posts for you. At this point, you can pull a lot of these photos into a lot of the AI tools and like design me, you know, 50 different posts. And it's going to be better than anything their 16-year-old daughter did for them, right? Like, I think there's a lot of upsells here.
Yeah, and hey, I got this local postcard. You want me to put you on it?
There we go. That's what we call a callback, folks. I love this. Yeah. Look, I like this one too. This one sounds a little more time-consuming. Although, if you're a foodie and you want to go, you know, help out the restaurants that you love, get more people. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't want them to come in there. I think this one's got legs, though.
Yeah, for sure. And once again, it's something that you could do as a side hustle as well, right? Like, I mean, most of these places are going to be, like, if you've got a day job, most of these places are open after your regular business hours, right? They're serving dinner, they're doing all of that sort of stuff, and do it on the weekend. Do it a couple of nights a week. Just pop into a few places and stuff like that. Like, you could do this anytime, pretty much.
You need one yes, right? You need one yes. You'll get a free meal, you know, $500, right? And practice. You're probably not going to do the first one the way you do your 10th one, but you've got to do your first one in order to do your 10th one, right? And so I think you're right, man. I think any Saturday or Sunday afternoon, when you're already like probably taking your family out to go eat there anyway, just, you mind if I speak to the owner? First off, that's going to make your waitress or waiter pretty freaking freaked out as you ask for the owner when your food's there. But like, it'll give you an opportunity, you know, pull them in, have them come over and just pitch them. Be like, hey, man, look, this is what you show up on online. Can I change that for you? I don't think this would be that hard.
Absolutely.
Now I just need to convince my wife to go do that. She's like, you know, almost 8 months pregnant. She's ready for this, right? We keep circling around the Google My Business stuff, though. I don't know anyone to talk to about that. And maybe that'll happen when we talk to Big Sky in a few weeks here. If someone's listening to this and you know a person who's really into the Google My Business stuff and they're helping business with that, I think I would like to have someone on here. I want to learn more about that. So if someone's listening, great. And then I want to know if anybody's going to do any of this stuff. I think these are all three of these are great ideas. Two of them, if not three of them, could all be combined together for sure. I want to know if someone's going to do this. So if you want to do this, hop into our Low Bar community. I want to see someone do this. Lowbar.com. You can just click the join button. Come over there. Josh, if you're listening, buddy, maybe this is your opportunity, bud. It's time for you.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Low Bar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Low Bar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.